makes you want to rise up, doesn't it? All right. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Deuteronomy. 7th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I would like to read the first 5 verses here, but in the interest of time, let's start with verse 6. Because I want to speak to you this morning a little different type of message than I usually bring on Sunday morning. I want to talk to you about modern Israel in the plan of God. That's the nation that's over there right now. And God's plan for them. Going back here to Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning in verse 6, this is talking about Israel. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Wow, isn't that something? The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. How would you like to be a Jew in today's world? It's one step below being a dedicated Christian. In our generation, we have seen the horrible persecution to the death of some 6 million Jews by the Germans in World War II during that Holocaust. Think of that, 6 million of them slaughtered by the Nazis under Adolf Hitler. And then, as if by way of apology, immediately afterward, God allowed them the blessing of being restored to their own land. And on May the 15th, 1948, they had their own nation for the first time since AD 70. That's 1,878 years. It was through the Holocaust. The Holocaust became the birth pangs that brought about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Over 6 million Jews have since returned to their land, but they've been met by opposition and fierce resistance since the very first day that they returned back home. Now, Perhaps what's going on today is a prelude to the tribulation. When the Antichrist comes to power, we know that the Bible tells us that intense persecution will come to Israel in what is called the day of Jacob's trouble. But after this great day of God's wrath, Jesus will come and Israel will be restored as the head of the nations. Their present-day enemies are many. The whole Arab world, through their spokesperson, the president of Iran, has denounced Israel and made it plain that they, too, as the Germans in World War II, seek the elimination of all Jews. Fanatical Muslims are seeking to impose their will, their laws, their God, and their control upon the whole world. Terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah and Hamas and Fatah, I guess they call it, they're armed to the teeth and they're suicidal in nature. And they're dedicated to destruction. These sick-minded people seem intent on wiping Israel off the map, and entirely without rhyme or reason. Through the assistance of Russia and China and other rogue nations of the world, the enemies of Israel are accumulating weapons of mass destruction, nuclear weapons, biological warfare, which they fully intend to unleash upon the world to accomplish their evil purposes. Meanwhile, unbelieving little Israel, surrounded by their enemies, whose goal, aim, and desire is to eradicate them from the face of the earth, these Jews have one great and significant advantage. And that is the unilateral, unconditional covenant that Almighty God made with Abraham, the father of their nation, back in 1892 B.C., 3,902 years ago. Under the terms of that covenant, God obligated himself without any bargaining or negotiating, with some unconditional promises to his chosen people. And his promises are based solely upon what he himself has pledged himself to do for them. There was absolutely nothing required of Abraham or his people. There was no give and take. This was God's covenant. It's too bad that the Israelites today seem unaware of this. They have forsaken the God of their fathers, even though he has not forsaken them. Even in their unbelief, they are still God's chosen people. They're spiritually blinded. They were God's chosen people when God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to them. When he came, he was their Messiah. But they crucified him. He rose from the dead the third day. And he sent his disciples out to preach to them. And they did. They continued to reject him. After 40 years, God sent the Roman Empire upon them in judgment. And the Jews were scattered amongst the nations of the earth. Their city, Jerusalem, was destroyed. Their sanctuary, the temple, was destroyed. And yonder in Rome today sits the triumphal Arch of Titus as a monument to the crushing defeat that was suffered by these Jewish people. But wherever the Jews have gone in the succeeding years, they have retained their national identity. Regardless of their geographical location, are the language spoken, are the religious affiliation of the peoples among whom they find themselves. Over the centuries, the Jews have been blamed for natural disasters. Earthquakes come, it's their fault. Hurricanes, tornadoes, their fault. Droughts, floods, crop failures, their fault. A farmer's cow goes dry, the Jew gets blamed for it. From time to time, nations have purged themselves of all the Jews within their borders. Even in early America, they were banned from participating in everyday affairs. When they first came to America, they could not vote. They could not hold offices or jobs. They could not even conduct business. They were restricted because they were Jews. I have personally visited their land. I have heard and have been led to believe that Israel is tired of war, tired of killing, and they desire peace at almost any price. So it will not come as a surprise that one of these days they will enter into a peace agreement spoken of by Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 9 verse 27, which says, of the Antichrist he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That week that he speaks about is a week of years called Daniel's 70th week. Unknown to Israel, this covenant that they will make will begin the worst time in the history of their nation. Back in Daniel chapter 2, and we've been teaching Daniel to you on Wednesday evenings, you'll remember that God placed in motion 4 Gentile superpowers or kingdoms that would prevail over his people Israel. This Gentile timeline began in 605 BC when Nebuchadnezzar came with the Babylonians. And the Babylonian Empire, the head of gold of Nebuchadnezzar's image in his dream of Daniel chapter 2, came to power. And then it was followed by the Medes and the Persians in 538 BC, depicted by the arms and chest of silver on the image. And they were overcome by the Grecian Empire, portrayed by the belly and thighs of brass, by Alexander the Great in 333 BC. And then finally, the strongest and the fiercest of the four, the Roman Empire in 163 BC, represented on the image by the legs of iron. We're down in the feet and toes era of the image at the present time. And not enough attention is being given to the feet of this image. The Bible tells us that the feet and toes are composed part of iron and part of clay, though they're not mixed together. So there are 10 toes, 5 on each foot. Some of you may remember that back in 1951, shortly after World War II, there were 6 European nations that formed an economic alliance. Now, economics is the number one focus in our country today and indeed the world. 30 years later, by 1981, 4 more nations had joined in what was called the European Economic Community. So that made 10. And people who were wise in the prophetic scriptures began to look at these 10 nations as being the 10 toes on the feet of Nebuchadnezzar's image. Now, since then, the organization has grown to include additional nations of both Central and Eastern Europe, and now it's called the EU, the European Union. And they now exceed the economical power of the United States of America. A political office has been created called the High Representative for the Common Foreign and Security Policy. And that office is presently filled by a woman. There was an article in, I believe, yesterday's paper about her. Her name is Catherine Ashton. And she's referred to as the foreign policy chief of the European Union. I'm not saying that the person holding that office will be the Antichrist. Only time will tell. But I do know this, that former U.S. Speaker of the House of Representatives, a fellow by the name of Newt Gingrich, you've heard of him, made a speech in Israel. And in his speech, he warned those people. He said the Jewish people are facing the looming threat of a nuclear Holocaust. He told them Israel is in the greatest danger it's been in since 1967. Your enemies are quite explicit in their desire to destroy you. They say it publicly. I don't know if Newt knew it or not, but his prophecy is certainly in line with statements that our Lord Jesus Christ made that were recorded many years ago in Matthew chapters 24 and 25. It will be a time of great deception, Jesus said. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. He said, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And Nebuchadnezzar's dream of Daniel chapter 2 was finished by a stone cut out of a mountain without hands, which smote the image upon its feet and destroyed it completely. And that smiting stone grew until it filled the whole earth. But before that can happen, Israel's spiritual apostasy must be dealt with. Before the kingdom of Christ can be established, Israel must be brought to her knees. She must have a broken and contrite heart and cease to be rebellious toward God. She must be ready to call upon the name of her Messiah and embrace Him when He appears. The Bible said His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which is on the east of Jerusalem. That's the same place from which He ascended to heaven so many years ago. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof. Now, that time of persecution that is yet to come upon Israel in the plan of God is called the Day of Jacob's Trouble. We call it the tribulation period. 7 years of tribulation. So that's what's in store for Israel in the future. It's interesting when we read about Israel in the Old Testament from the time that they were called in Abraham all the way through. It is so like that of individual Christians. I want to read a summary that was given here in Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning in verse 5. A Syrian, that's what Abraham was. Abraham was not a Hebrew yet. He was not a Jew yet. He was a Syrian. A Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt. That was Jacob in his 70 back in the year 1677 B.C. He went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction, our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. That was the Exodus under Moses in 1462 B.C. And with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and wonders. He's talking there about all of the plagues that came upon the Egyptians. He's talking about the miracle of God's opening up the Red Sea and allowing Israel to cross over on dry ground on their way to the Promised Land. Great signs and wonders. And hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey." I say that's a picture of Christianity because that's what God did to us. He found us when we were lost. He visited us with the Holy Spirit of conviction and brought us to Christ. We were in bondage to sin, serving the devil. Our works were evil. We were estranged from God. But God, through the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, cleansed us. He performed miracles and caused us to be born again and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into that glorious kingdom of light. And He's given us a land. We're living today in the land that is flowing with milk and honey, spiritually. We're God's people, citizens of His kingdom. Our sins are forgiven. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, let's glorify God with our bodies, which are His. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow today to give You thanks for Your goodness and graciousness toward us who were alienated from God. We were strangers from the covenant of promise. We had no hope. But Jesus came and He brought us a hope. He redeemed us from our sins and made us children of God. You've done so much for us, and we are so grateful to You for it. But we look at the Jews. There are approximately 6 million of them in Israel today, and only a few know our Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Only a few. And we know that the time will come when that nation will be brought to their knees and they'll be made to realize that they need a Messiah, and then Messiah will come. And when He comes, they'll see the nail prints in His hands and they'll ask Him, "Where did You get the nail prints in Your hands?" And He'll say, "Those with which I was wounded in the house of My friends." And the Bible tells us that all Israel shall be saved. What a glorious time that will be when they're restored. They shall be as we are, bought with a price, washed in the blood, cleansed from all unrighteousness through the blood of Christ. Father, today, speak to hearts. Draw us unto Thyself. Give us understanding and spiritual illumination that we may see these things that are coming to pass even in our day. And we'll give You praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a verse of invitation today. Perhaps there's one here whose heart has been touched. What's our number?
Number 487.
487 in the hymn book. This is your invitation to come. God speaks to your heart and leads. There's mercy. We'll Seeing you, and we look forward for the service tonight. May God give you a wonderful afternoon today.